If you will take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 16. We'll be taking our reading from Matthew chapter number 16. I trust that you've been praying for the service this week. If you just now started praying for me, next week try to do better and pray all week long. I'll do the best to pray for you. Hey, I want to go ahead and say this morning that we are living, we're still fighting a battle. And look, I'm going to leave the Memorial Day theme for just a minute, and we're fighting a spiritual battle every single day. Look, we're fighting. There are families in our congregation this morning who are fighting battles. There are families who have different things going on, and I'm not at liberty to discuss and wouldn't discuss it even if I was. But man, the devil is attacking our families in our church. Look, I believe that God has got us on a foundation that is strong and sure. I believe that our church is coming together in one mind and one accord in order to worship God and in order to lead others to the cross of Christ. But can I tell you this morning that if Satan can get into the families of our church, that he will begin to break down the unity that is building in this place this morning? And we need to pray for one another that we will see Satan coming, that we'll keep our eyes on the prize, that we'll keep our eyes on Christ. And when Satan comes to attack your family, look, I know he's attacking your family because he's attacking mine. And I've had phone calls throughout the week that he's attacking families in our church. We really need to be praying for each other that we will all be on the defense against Satan and knowing where our true help and our true favor comes from. Look, there's nothing wrong with seeking outside help. There is nothing wrong with asking someone else. But right here is where our real help is. If we'll keep our eyes on God and trust God and look unto God and follow God's word, then I think we should be able to get through just about anything with God's help. We should be able to get through just about anything as a family and as a church this morning. Matthew chapter number 16. We're going to begin reading with verse number 1 in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him for his blessing this morning. Lord, we thank and we praise you for everything that you do for us. God, I do pray for our church, God. God, I pray for the families in our church. God, I pray especially for our young families in our church. It seems like just recently that the devil, I know he has been attacking God, and it seems like recently that it's just more and more. And God, I pray that you'll just touch in an amazing way, God. I pray that you'll just help us, God. God, to lean on you and to trust in you. And God, first of all, I think we need to be faithful unto you. And God, I know that you'll be faithful unto us and help us through anything that we have to go through. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into your message this morning, as we get into your word, that you'll just touch. God, help us in everything that we do, that we'll always give you honor and glory. And God, never forget the ultimate sacrifice that you paid by allowing your son, Jesus Christ, to come and give his life for us. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Excuse me, Matthew chapter number 16. Let's begin reading. Well, verse number 1, the Bible says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came. Now look, we got two very interesting groups of people right here, or maybe not so interesting, but they're mentioned a whole lot in the New Testament and in the four Gospels especially. And the Pharisees was a very religious type people. These people, they knew the law, they followed the law. These were the people that, you know, these were the churchy people. I'm not going to say that they were spiritual, but they were churchy. And they knew the law and was able to teach the law. The Pharisees was what was the real religious people of the day. And then the Sadducees, they were also religious, but they denied the deity of Christ. They denied that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. One way to always remember that is the Sadducees denying the deity of Jesus Christ was the reason they were sad, you see. You keep that together. So as we got the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came together here, and look what their purpose is. They've come to Jesus, and it says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. But boy, they've come to Jesus, and they're testing him. They're wanting him to show them some kind of miraculous thing to prove who he is and to prove of why he's came. They're wanting him to do something miraculous so they can see with their eyes who he is. Verse number 2, and he answered unto them, when it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? He said, it's amazing that you can look into the sky, because most of these guys were probably fishermen or knew a whole lot about fishing as they were growing up. And as they look, they said, you can look into the sky and you can say, well, the sky is red at night, is a sailor's delight. You can look and you can say, well, you see the sky that it is red in the evening and it will be fair weather. And you can look and see in the morning that the sky is red and lowering and it's going to be foul weather. He said, you mean to tell me that you can discern that, but you cannot discern that I'm the Son of God? You cannot discern and understand what's going on. So he says, oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Verse number 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. He says, I've already showed you everything that you need to know. All of the signs is there, all of the examples is there that you need to know of who I am and what's going to come to pass. I want to tell us this morning as a church, I don't know if you and I are fully into God's word the way that we should be, but God has told us everything that we need to know in his word of what is going to happen, of how we can be prepared for what's going to happen. He has laid it out for us in his word. And you say, well, preacher, I don't always understand it. Well, guess what? I don't either. So let's get real simple. Let's put this, lay it right out there. You give your heart and your life to Christ, and you trust God with everything in you, and you follow God with everything in you, and you're going to be all right. That's real simple. That's real plain. Verse number 5, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you to concern in the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now as the disciples get to where Jesus is at, they have forgot to bring their lunch. And as they gather together and Jesus is trying to warn them and trying to tell them, look, you got to be careful around these Pharisees and these Sadducees. Don't let them pervert your mind to what you know is the truth. Don't let them talk you out of what you know about who I am. And as he's telling them that, they get the thing and they say, oh, he knows we forgot our bread. That's what he's talking about. And Jesus explains to them, I'm not talking about your bread at all. I'm not even talking about bread. What in the world is wrong with you guys? I'm telling you to beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and not to get entangled in their doctrine. But let's look back at verse number 8. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? He said, guys, why are y'all worried about bread? Why are you even talking about bread? I know that you don't have anything to eat, but I don't understand why you're even thinking about this, because in verse 9, it says, do you not understand, neither remember. Now, as I was thinking this week, and of course the mindset and the theme of Memorial Day on my mind, and remembering the men and the women, the boys, the girls that have given their life in order for us to have freedom this morning. But I think it's also very important this morning that we remember some spiritual things. It's important that I know the Bible talks about he that taketh hold of the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. But that's when we're looking back at some things that don't matter. I think it is very important in our Christian life sometimes that we remember some things. And look what Jesus is even telling his disciples right here. He says, why are you even discussing bread? I know you don't have anything to eat, and I know that you forgot the bread, but I don't know why you're talking about it, because in verse number 9 he says, do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. He says, guys, y'all are sitting here worried about bread. You're worried about not having some bread with you this morning, and you're talking about that. He says, but I want you to remember. Don't you remember that day that we had 5,000 men sitting out here and we didn't have anything to feed them, and how somebody come by with a couple of loaves and some fish, and how I took that and how I blessed it and break it and I gave to them, and we fed over 5,000 people that day, and we took up baskets and baskets of leftovers. He said, guys, how in the world do you not remember that? How do you not understand that? And he said, and then the other time, he said, when we had just a few loaves of bread and we fed all of these thousands of people, how do you not remember that? We spend so much time worrying about things in our life and situations that we may be in and little things that come up in our life life and we forget all about what Jesus has done for us. We forget all about the past things that God has done for us. I want us to take just a minute this morning. I want us to look into our lives. I don't know where you're walking this morning. I don't know what kind of troubles or trials or burdens you may have. And maybe you're here and you're on cloud nine this morning. You don't have any problems in the world. Well, just hang on. They're coming. And maybe when they do, maybe you'll remember this, that no matter where you're at, no matter what kind of trouble or trial or burden comes your way, that you're serving a God that has always been there for you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He has always provided your need, even when you didn't know you had a need. We are serving a God this morning that if we'll remember what He's already done for us, we'll have no fear for the future. We won't be scared about what may happen tomorrow, but we'll know that our God is going to be there no matter what. He said, guys, you're worried about bread for you? I mean, there's just a few of y'all. And don't you remember how we took just a little bit of bread that you didn't even have? Because as they got there that day and there was over 5,000 there that was hungry, they didn't even have bread to feed them. And here come a little lad along with a couple of fish and some bread. And God took the little bit that lad had, and He fed the 5,000 there that day. It was over 5,000 people. And why sometimes we get so caught up, hey, I'll have something that comes up in my life, and I'll call Autumn, and I say, I don't know what in the world we're going to do. Look at this problem, and this problem, and this problem. I don't know how in the world this is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to end up being solved. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. Well, see, that's the problem right there, is I think that I have to fix things. I think it's in my power to control things, when if I'll just completely surrender my life unto God and say, God, here I am, here's the problem that's in my life, you're not surprised by this problem, you knew it was coming anyway, just like He knew that the disciples didn't have bread here on this day, but He's telling them, don't worry about that, I supplied for you time and time again, what makes you think I'm going to leave you wanting now, what makes you think that I'm not going to supply for you now, Christ has always come through for me, and He always will, I need to learn to trust and to fully surrender unto that in my life. I don't know about you guys. I know I have told you before that I am the worry wart of our family. And if a little problem comes along in my life, hey, I would love to have back. I would absolutely love to have back all of the time that I have said and worried about things that never happened in my life. I think it's just a trick of the devil, and he comes and he jumps on your shoulder and he begins to show you every possible outcome that could come out of a situation. And the devil wants to come and you know what? He shows you every outcome but one. He'll show you that it could turn out this way and this is bad. He'll show you that it could turn out this way and it's bad. But what the devil don't ever show you is that you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're serving a God that loves you so much that He's holding you in the palm of His hand this morning. He won't show you the times in the past when other things come up and you were worried, sick, and you didn't know what you was going to do. And right in the nick of time, every time, God's come through for you. The devil will never show you that. Don't let him have any victory in your life. Trust God. Surrender unto God, knowing that He is going to be there for you. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? Not only did He supply the need, but there was extra to go along. I cannot believe that so many times, even after I've seen God come through, I don't care if it's something, look, it wasn't simple at the time. But now looking back, it was simple. Ain't that amazing? How when things come up in our life and they seem like it's such a great big burden, it's such a great big trial, it's such a great big temptation that we're going through, and right now that's all that we can focus on, that's all that we can see is whatever we're going through. And then as time goes on and you get past that and you look back, it wasn't a big thing at all because God was there. And it may be something as simple, and like I said, it wasn't simple at the time, but I've shared with you before about Silas having a fever and about how I didn't know anything about babies. Good Lord, I told y'all that I gave Silas Benadryl at night. It's like he was making him go to sleep. Or Autumn said, I can't believe you just told the whole church that we fed him Benadryl. We didn't do that. So I don't know anything about, still don't know anything about babies. Do not trust me with your baby. I will hold them and love on them, but do not ask me to feed them, change them, or anything else because I cannot be trusted in that area. I am not a Mr. Mom. My wife, on the other hand, can take care of it. So I can remember as Silas was a baby, and I didn't know anything about it. I just know he didn't feel good. And I remember Autumn coming to me and saying, look, if his fever don't begin to drop, we're going to the emergency room. It's getting too high. It's getting dangerous. And I said, what do you mean? She said, it cannot be that high. I said, okay. So he lay there a little bit, and she'd already give him Tylenol, and maybe I got it right this time. She'd already give him all this stuff, and I don't know what all, but so, and his fever still wasn't coming down. So I go in there, crawl up beside him in the bed, pull him up to me, and I mean, I can feel the heat on his body. And I say, God, I don't know what else to do. I didn't know what to do in the beginning. God, I surely don't know what to do now. Please, please let his fever break. God, please just touch my son. And I can remember it was instant. The sweat beads popped out on him. He just got soaking wet. His fever broke right then and there. Now, look, as I stand here talking about that this morning, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But I want to remember how God's always come through for me. That very time and moment, that was the biggest thing in the world. That was the biggest problem in the whole world. I didn't care about anything else but knowing that my son was going to be okay. And whatever you're going through right now, it may seem like the biggest thing in the world, but God is there with you. God's got you in his hand. And if you'll remember, like he told the disciples, he said, just remember what I done. I come through for you. We didn't even have any bread, but we fed 5,000. We didn't have any bread, but we fed 4,000. And if we'll just concentrate on what God's already done, we'll know that he'll never let us down in whatever we're going through. He says, do you not understand nor remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it then that you do not understand that if I spake unto you concerning the bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? This morning, I don't know what God's done for you in your past. Hey, I've heard some of you's testimonies, and I can't start going through your testimony because one thing, I'll mess it up, and there's so many in here that I'll never do them justice. But as you look back at what God has done for you, at the way he's provided for you, at the way that he's brought you through some things in your life, why would you be concerned about how he is going to take care of you tomorrow and today and the next day? See, the disciples, they were worried about because they didn't have any bread. We're going to starve to death. They must have been teenagers is the only thing I can figure out. And Silas, if he don't have something to eat with him, he thinks he's going to starve. But as they get there to where Jesus is at, and it's like, we ain't got no bread. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, don't you remember I done this and this and this? This morning, I want you to take just a minute. And even as we're in a mindset of remembrance and we're in a mindset of memorial this morning, I don't want us to ever forget what God has done in our life. I don't want us to ever forget how Christ has been there, how he's always provided for every one of our needs. Most of all, I don't want you to ever forget this, that you had a need that nothing in this world could ever satisfy, that you had a need that you could not meet, that you had a need that no finances could ever get you through it, that you had a need that no popularity could get you through, that you had a need that nothing in this world could supply that need. And I want you to remember how that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he knew that you had that need. And there on a cross at Calvary, he really provided for you the only need that really is important in our lives. And that is the fact that we were guilty of sin, that we were going to die and go to a devil's hell. But he said, no, I won't suffer for that. I won't let that happen. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to shed my every last drop of blood for you. There's going to be blood that'll wash away your sin so that your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't want you to ever forget what he's done. Whatever need you have to come up tomorrow is nowhere near as big as your need for salvation. Whatever need you got coming up in your near future, it's nowhere near as the need that you had for salvation. He supplied that need, and he's going to supply every need that you ever have. Our problem is we forget what needs are and what wants are. Hey, I don't think there's anything wrong. If you want a nicer place, you want a bigger house, you want a smaller house, you want whatever, I don't think there's anything wrong with praying and asking God to show you what his will is for your life. But can we understand this morning that that's a want? It's not a need. Well, preacher, you just don't know. We really need that extra bedroom. I really need a smaller payment. Look, I'm not encouraging this because I don't believe this is the way that the Bible speaks about our finances. And actually, if I ever preach a message on finances, I think we'll all find that we're probably not where the Bible tells us that we should be with our finances. But if you lose everything tomorrow, you file bankruptcy and it all goes back, they come out there and tell you to get out of that house because you can't pay for it no longer. They come get my truck because I can't pay for it any longer. Whatever happens, Can I tell you that all of this stuff here on this earth is temporal and it really won't mean a thing in the end? You may feel like, well, I'm a failure. Drop your head. You may feel like, well, I've let everybody down. But even if all that happens, you got a God that loves you so much that he'll provide you something somewhere, some way. It'll be okay. It will be just fine as long as your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life that you'll be just fine. Don't forget what God's done for you. I wish we had time this morning to allow a few people to say what God's done for them. I wish we had, because I'm afraid, though, if we got started that all 200 of us would want to go and we'd be here for a little while. Maybe we'll do that one Wednesday night or something. We'll just have a testimony service. But if we would really look, because what's amazing is, Lynn, if you tell me where God, what God's done for you, it encourages me because I can say, look, I've never been there, but God can get me through that too. Cody, if you tell me what God's done for you, it'll encourage me. Man, I'm going to tell you, if we really knew what God had done for each and every one of us, there is no reason to doubt what God can do for us in the future. Verse number 13, I don't want you to forget what God has done for you. Let's remember that. Verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Look, now when the disciples were telling Jesus that this is what some people are saying about you, they were saying, they put you up there with the best of the best. When they put him up there with John the Baptist and Elias and Jeremiah, they was putting him up there with the best of the best, the best prophets that they were. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I think it's really important that we remember what God has done for us, what Christ has done for us. But I think it's even more important that we never forget who he really is. We must always remember who he is. Because there might be a time in our lives, there may be a time in our lives that we feel, now look, let's be real careful with this, that we feel that God didn't supply our need. That is not going to be the actual truth of the matter, but there is going to be a time, maybe sometime in your life, maybe you're praying for a loved one that needs God's healing touch, and God didn't see fit to do that. And we're going to feel like God didn't provide. Maybe there is a financial need, and you've prayed for God to supply that financial need, and God didn't see fit to supply it the way that you thought he should, and you may feel like God didn't come through for you. One day when you get to heaven and God's able to explain it all to you, I think you'll be fine with it. But I want us to know that no matter what our feelings are, no matter what we're going through, no matter if you feel like God has always come through for you or not, I can assure you one thing. That we need to remember who God is. Because it's not about what he does for us daily. It's about who he is. Look, he created this whole universe. God stepped out on nothing and created this whole universe. And in the middle of that, he created you. And then he knew that you were going to need a Savior. And God loved you so much that he provided for all of that before you was ever a twinkle in anybody's eye. God loved you so much that he provided for that. God has been so good to us, but it's more about who he is. He is God because he is God. He's not God because I got a little money in my pocket. He's not God because I got a house to live in. He's not God because I'm at Fellowship Baptist Church this morning. He's God because he's God, and that's all I know. That's the only way I know how to put it. And we need to worship him and trust him and honor him and give him glory for being God, for loving us so much to provide a way of salvation, an escape from our sins. Who do you say that I am? Thou art Jesus, the Son of the living God. I'm glad this morning that we are serving the one true God, that we are serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They may put anybody they want to up on a pedestal. I was joking this morning with Randall and Shannon when I brought them in that little clip, and I said, this is Ronald Reagan talking, that's almost like preaching all by itself. We may just dismiss after that because I hold him really high. But I want you to know this morning, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, anybody you want to put on that pedestal, anywhere you want to put it, I want to tell you something, that they're just men, they're just failures that must be saved by the grace of God if they're ever going to see heaven. But I want to tell you this morning that we are serving a God, Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect life and gave his life for you and I. Let's never forget who he is. He is worthy of all of our honor and our glory and our praise. He is the one that we should be bragging about this morning. He is the one that we should be pointing other people to, because he is the only way of salvation. Put anybody you want to on a pedestal. I don't care if you even go into the religious realm. If you want to talk about Billy Graham, if you want to talk about Dwight L. Moody, if you want to talk about any of these men, great men of God, but without Jesus Christ, they're nothing. Without Jesus Christ, they're bound for the same hell that you and I were. Let's never forget who our God is. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of all eternity, is who we are serving and who we are worshiping this morning. It's all about what he has done and who he is. Let's look at this one more time, what Peter said. Jennifer and Hannah, if you will, come on. Get us an invitation hymn this morning. But verse number 15, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's really cool to know what all God has done, but never forget who he is. I find myself sometimes in this fast-paced world that we're living in, I find myself not honoring God for who he is. What if God does? What if tomorrow you feel like God didn't come through for you? Are you still going to worship him for who he is? What if tomorrow something happens and you don't understand what God's doing in your life? Are you still going to worship him just because he's God? See, so many times my faith, I hate the word religion. My relationship with God depends on what he's done instead of who he is. But my relationship with God should be all about who he is. The fact that he loved me so much. The fact that he was willing to allow me to be one of his children. Look, things are going to happen. Just this week we've heard of tragedy. Just this week we've heard of, like I said, families going through some bad things. Just this week we can look and you can look through the news and different, and you can see some really bad things going on, and you say, "Well, God, what about all these? How am I supposed to honor you in the middle of this?" Honor him for who he is. Honor him and worship him for who he is. This morning, where are you at with God? Is it all about what he's done? Hey, let's never forget it. Let's never forget what he's done. But let's honor and worship him for who he is. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. With this Memorial Day weekend coming up, we are doing a lot of remembering. Remembering why we're free. Remembering why we have the opportunity to assemble this way this morning. That's wonderful. Should be done. But I want you to remember even more than that of who you belong to this morning. I want you to remember even more than that who loves you more than anybody in this world this morning. I want you to remember who God is in your life. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I know that I've been saved, but I'm a little bit like you. As long as things are going good in my life, it seems like I honor God. But I really take him for granted. I don't worship him the way that I should. And I really just want to be closer to him. Would you just slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. Hey, mine's up. Y'all pray for me. I want to be closer to God because of who he is. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray maybe if there's one here in this congregation this morning that don't know you, God, I pray that before they leave here today, that they will come to know you, that you can be their God just as you are mine. God, I know that I fall and come short. God, I sin. I mess up. And God, let's just be honest. Sometimes I choose to do things that I shouldn't. And God, I pray that you'll forgive me. Draw me closer to you, God. God, help my relationship with you not to depend on what you're doing for me at that point in time, but all about who you are, and you're worthy of my honor and my glory and my praise. For every hand that was raised, God, you know the needs. God, I pray that you'll touch. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.